Today on Bold Steps, Mark Job reminds us that our attitudes reflect our identity in Christ.
Because I'm a follower of Jesus, I understand that I have my place in the universe, and I humble myself before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords because I'm clothing myself with attitudes that may be uncomfortable for me to clothe myself with. But in essence, the Apostle Paul is saying that's what you're called to. Embrace it, the new you.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Job. Mark is the president of Moody Bible Institute and the senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. On today's program, we're going to be learning about the attitudes a believer should reflect as a new person made in Christ's image. This message comes from our new series titled In His Image, Renewing Relationships. And if you've missed any of the previous messages in this series, you can catch up online at boldstepsradio.org. But now let's join Mark as he shares the five attitudes every believer should possess and reflect, as described in the book of Colossians. The message, "This is the new me," starts now.
You have to start putting on attitudes that reflect who you are, and sometimes those attitudes will feel weird to you. You'll feel like, well, this doesn't feel normal to me to have this attitude. And he lists the attitude. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You say, Pastor, you've just described what I am not. You see, your new identity comes with new attitudes. And the word he says here is, he says, put on. This is, in the Greek, this is an action word. It's not a passive activity. In other words, it doesn't say stand there and it'll be put on you. It says put this on. In other words, these are attitudes that you're going to have to put on that may feel strange to you in the beginning, but they're attitudes that go with the new identity that you have. What are those attitudes? Well, the first attitude, there's several. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. There's five attitudes that he says accompany your new identity. Number one is compassion. The opposite of compassion is insensitivity, callousness, I don't care. Suffering can happen around me and it doesn't matter. As long as it's not my suffering, I don't care about it. Now that you're a believer and chosen of God, you need to start caring about other people's suffering. You see, before in the world, who you were, as long as it didn't happen to you, you didn't care. How many of you know that in an intense urban environment like Chicago, there's a certain hardness that we develop because of the fast-paced world we live in? That even people outside of Chicago notice. Like if you're never raised in Chicago, you come to Chicago, people tell me all the time, they feel kind of hard and rude. Yeah, we walk down the street, hit someone, hey, get out of my way. We don't say, excuse me. It's like, hey, no. You drive in Chicago, hey, don't get in. It comes out in my driving a lot. I don't know. I find myself, when I get in that line and someone else is coming and hasn't waited in that line to get off the expressway, off that exit, I want to pull up close so they can't get in front of me. It's like, hey, I waited. Get to the back of the line. What are you doing trying to cut in? I'm putting it as closely as I can. Come on, don't look at me like, Pastor. Oh, I know you do it too. I've told you before, I don't have bumper stickers on the back of my car that say New Life Community Church or honk if you love Jesus. I don't have those because I'm afraid I'm going to offend people, cut someone off, and I got to wait till my driving is more sanctified before I put Christian bumper stickers on the back of my car. I'm waiting there. One day I'll get there, but not yet. I wear sunglasses just in case someone, is that Pastor Mark? No. He says, put on a heart of compassion. Listen, before you didn't care, but now, because you're holy, selected, a child of the living God, you have to start caring. Now, other people's suffering is your suffering. Before, you looked at someone that, a homeless person on the street, and you'd pass by and they'd put out your hand. You say, get a job, you lazy scumbag. But now, God begins to change your heart of compassion. And when you see someone like that, you say, yeah, maybe they need to get a job, but maybe I need to have a bit of heart of compassion for their suffering and where they're at, however they got there. Because that's who you were before, but now you're a different person. You're a child of the Most High God. Kindness. Not only compassion, but he says put on kindness. The opposite of kindness is harshness. The severity of one's attitude and actions towards others. This gruffness. This rudeness and harshness. Oftentimes that I see in men. Before you came to Christ. And that lingers with us after we come to Christ. Father. You say, well, I don't tell my kids and my wife and people that I love them because it's just not who I am. My dad never did it. I don't do it either. Really? Because that's who you were. But now, as a man of God, your 10-year-old son needs to know that you love him. Now you need to learn to hug him and say, Mijo, you're my son, and give him a big hug. Because whatever you were before, the hardness, the callousness, whatever it was before, that was the old you, but now God has clothed you with kindness. That means there's a sensitivity about your heart, a willingness to show kindness in you that maybe was not a part of your character before, but because you're called of God now, you've clothed yourself with a kindness that was not a part of your character before. Gentleness, it means the opposite of roughness, ungraciousness, it means that sense of being under control, that sense of having a heart that is actually tender towards others. Patience, humility, is the opposite of arrogance and pride in one's attitude. You were arrogant, prideful. Now, because you're a son and daughter of the Most High God, you clothe yourself with humility, a sense of God is above all things, and I'm under him. I'm not at the center of my universe. I'm not the arrogant person that believes that life should center around me and that everybody on earth is here to meet my needs. That's arrogant pride. Because I'm a follower of Jesus, I understand that I have my place in the universe, and I humble myself before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords because I'm clothing myself with attitudes that may be uncomfortable for me to clothe myself with in the beginning. And then patience. It's the opposite of impatience, revenge, anger, a readiness to explode, exasperating circumstances. I have a patience towards others, a willingness to endure their transformation, even though it may take longer than what I expect. That's patience. You see, in essence, what the Apostle Paul is telling us is that because who you are now, you need to clothe yourself to match who you are. And it may feel a little bit uncomfortable for you in the beginning because you've never dressed that way before. That uniform may feel a little bit itchy. It may feel like, hey, I don't know how to do this anymore. This is a little bit different for me. But in essence, the Apostle Paul is saying that's what you're called to, though, now. That's the new you. Embrace it. The new you. Secondly, he not only tells us that the new us comes with a radically different set of attitudes, but he also tells us that the new you does not hold on to relational dirty baggage either. Relational dirty baggage. So in verse 13 he says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. So now that you know who you are in God, and you're starting to dress the new you, starting to behave in a different way, different than how it was in your past life. Now he says, when it comes to your relationships, and by the way, how many of you know that the hardest thing in the Christian life is relationships? I heard someone say once, it would be easy to be a Christian if there weren't other people in the world. It's the other people that aggravate you, the having to forgive them, the frustration of having to love them, the aggravation of dealing with immaturity, the jealousy and the pride and the greed and all the complications that come with relationships is what make it so difficult. And so the Apostle Paul says you need to know your new identity, but you have to relate to people in a different way. He says bear with each other. Bear with each other has to do with your current situation. And he says forgive whatever grievances, that has to do with your past. Bearing with each other has to do with your present. Forgiving has to do with things that people have done to you in the past. In essence, what the Apostle Paul is saying is that now that you're a follower of Jesus Christ, your attitude towards people has to be different. In the past, you held on to grudges. In the past, you made a list of who you liked and didn't like. In the past, you had a whole bunch of people. I don't talk to that person. I don't like that person. I don't walk by this person's house. I spit in that person's doorway. I don't go to parties that they're at. I don't sit near them. I don't talk with them. They're on my blacklist. I have vengeance against that person. You do me wrong, I never forget. I'm waiting for my opportunity to do you wrong. In the past, that's the way you operated. Hello. But now there's a new you. That's not you anymore. It's the way the old you operated. But now there's a new you. And the new you releases what is being done and forgives the past if you have something against one another. And it says, and forgive as the Lord forgave you. So here's what God is expecting of the new us when it comes to relationships. When it comes to relationships, this is what God says about how he's forgiven you. The Bible says that God has thrown your sins as far as the east is from the west. Let me ask you, how far is the east from the west? Some of you are saying, like, 5 miles, 6? No. I'm not talking the borders of Chicago. I'm talking the east from the west. Infinity. God has thrown your sins an infinity away. And the scripture says, and he remembers them no more. Wait. You mean God has amnesia? No. God doesn't have amnesia. God doesn't have memory problems. God chooses not to remember your sins anymore.
Well, this is Bold Steps, and you're listening to Pastor Mark Jobe. We will be back with the second half of today's message in just a moment, so stay with us. But in the meantime, here at Bold Steps, we want to encourage you to go online and sign up for our Bold Stepper Weekly.
Yeah, Wayne, it's a great way to get some encouragement. Mm-hmm. And so this is an email that's sent directly to you Monday morning, and it's just usually packed with some encouraging words, a devotional thought, just a great way to get your week started off right.
It's a great thing. All right, boldstepsradio.org is the website. Look for Mark's photo. And this is free, by the way. There's no obligation. We want you to receive the Bold Stepper Weekly. Sign up at boldstepsradio.org. Our study today comes from the book of Colossians, and to continue with the second half of this important and timely message, once again, here's Pastor Mark Jobe.
Let me tell you how it works in our life. We have a lot of baggage in part because we remember and rehearse and reread grievances against us often. So you have a fight with your wife, your spouse. And she opens up that drawer. In her memory, she's got files. Oh, you want to talk about that? 1995. I remember when you did this and when you said that and you hurt me so bad and you did that. Okay, that doesn't work. 2001. Do you remember when you said this and you left me standing there and you really hurt me and you offended me? Oh, that doesn't work. 2003. You know what? You really, really didn't show up when I wanted you to show up with the kids and you got a whole file. And he says, you tell him, do you remember that? He says, no, I don't remember that. You remember what he said, when he said it, the tone that he said it, what time it was, how he said it, and the exact words that he said it in, because you've rehearsed it, you've nursed it, you've cursed it. You got a lot of ammunition there. And what God is saying is that he's got a drawer too. And if anybody had a drawer, God would have a drawer. He knows your thoughts, your attitudes, what you did in silent, what you did in secret, what you did when you were 10, what you did when you were 31, what you did when you were 16. He knows all of it, the thoughts, the attitudes, the intents, the things that no one else knows about, the things that you're ashamed of, the things that you thought in your own heart that you would be ashamed to tell anybody. He knows all of that. He's got a huge file. But when God forgives you, he takes that file and he shuts it. And when you come to God and say, Lord, I'm asking for this, please, I'm calling out to you, God doesn't say, oh, you're calling out to me? 1995, 1996, 1997, 2003, 2003, you come to me, really? I mean, after, oh, that's not enough, last year, last minute, last hour, pull it out. God doesn't do that. If it's washed, if it's forgiven, you say, you remember God last month when I, what? Last month? Because God chooses not to rehearse, to look at. When he's forgiven, he has forgiven for good. Praise be to the goodness of God. That should make some of you want to shout for joy. Because you walked in here with all that burden and guilt and shame, and someone sees you and said, where are you? And you're like, oh, people, no one forgets, but God does. He's washed and cleansed, and when he looks at you, he sees you, your slate has been clean. He sees you through the righteousness of Jesus. He looks at you as someone that is righteous in his eyes, washed and cleansed before the Father through the work that Jesus has done for you. And he says, if you're a son or daughter of mine, that's how I expect you to act too. I don't want you to drag baggage with you. I want you to deal with things. I want you to forgive as Christ has forgiven you. I don't want you to have resentment or bitterness or grudges or list of people that you are holding in debtor's prison. I want you to release and to forgive. I want you to not remember. It doesn't mean that what they did wasn't bad. It doesn't mean that you minimize it. It doesn't mean that you excuse it. It simply means that I will not be caught or live with resentment, anger, bitterness in my life. It doesn't mean you have to be best friends, but it simply means I'm not going to live with that anger, resentment, and bitterness in my life. I'm going to be free to love Jesus and to love others and not poison my heart with bitterness in my soul. And then in verse 14, and it says, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. All these virtues that we've talked about, he says, put on love. Put on the attitude of love. Now, there's a lot of misunderstanding about love, because oftentimes people view love as an emotion. And we use the word love very generically. You say, oh, I love Giordano's pizza. And then you say, well, I love my husband. Well, I love God. Oh, I'm glad that you love pizza and God and your husband all in the same package. We've watered down the meaning of love. And we've taken on a Hollywood definition of love. Love at first sight. People say, oh, I saw her and I fell in love with her. Really? You fell in love with her and lust with her? I'm trying to figure out which one. Because love is not an emotion. You know, if you view it as emotion, then you view yourself as a victim of love. And if you are a victim of love, then you can't choose who you love or how you love. And I have people tell me this. A couple will come into me and say, we're separating or getting a divorce. I say, why? Well, we're just not in love with each other anymore. Almost like, oh, you know, too bad. We'd like to be, but love has left us. Hold on a second. There's no like little fat angel with Cupid arrows shooting you and then taking arrows out. Love is not an emotion. Love is a choice. For God so loved the world. Not for God so felt goosebumps over you when you were sinning and in your mess. And he said, oh, I just love him. No. He chose to love you in your mess and in your sinfulness. He chose to love you when you were unlovable. It was a choice that God made. Love is a choice that we make. And if your love is just an emotion, then you are one basket case when it comes to relationships, because you will feel love sometimes and other times not feel love at all. If you treated the kids the way you feel about them in the day, you'd be in trouble. You walk in the room at night, they're laying there, you say, oh, they're sleeping like an angel. I just love my little kid. I want to pinch his cheeks and hold him. And then they wake up in the morning. And you want to send them to military school or do worse, you know. Love is not an emotion. Love is a choice. You say, I'm going to love this person whether I feel like it or not. I'm going to act in love towards this person. Love is bigger than emotion that comes and go, bigger than how I feel that day because I ate good pizza or bad pizza. My love is stronger than that. It's not based on an emotion. It's based on choice and commitment. And so he says, and above all these things, put on the virtue of love, that choice to value people around me, which binds them all together in perfect unity, because Scripture says they will know that you are my disciples by your love. What does that mean? That means that we value people. That means that this church should be known by its appreciation and value of people. Because you know what? We could have a packed out house. We could have a great worship. We could have awesome preaching. We could have the best programs in Chicago. But if we have no love, we are nothing. Nothing.
You're listening to the Bible teaching of Mark Job, and this is Bold Steps. We're learning that our identity is tied to Christ, and our identity ultimately defines and shapes the course of our lives. Here at Bold Steps, we want to stand with you to encourage and inspire you in all that you do. So we're invited you to sign up for our Bold Stepper Weekly. It's a weekly email from Mark and the team that's delivered each Monday to your inbox free of charge. And you can sign up today at boldstepsradio.org. And then while you're on the website, check out our latest Bold Step gift. It's a book by Dr. Gary Chapman that will help you improve your relationships and your home life. We'd be happy to send a copy to your home when you give a gift of any amount to support this ministry. Simply call 844-615-7363. That's 844-615-7363. Or give your gift online at boldstepsradio.org. But if you find it easier, you can send your donation and request for Dr. Chapman's book in the mail. Just address your envelope to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. That's 820 North LaSalle, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Well, that's all the time we have for today. I'm Wayne Shepherd. I'm inviting you to join us again tomorrow when we wrap up this message called This is the New Me. Mark will explain how we can live in a Word-centered way. The message is part of his In His Image series, and you can hear more about renewing relationships Tuesday on Bold Steps with Mark Joe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.